You're listening to The Real Well Show with Kathy Fetke, the real estate investor's resource.
Which real estate asset class will be the most profitable in 2024 and beyond? I'm Kathy Fetke, and welcome to The Real Well Show. Our guest today started his career in real estate right after the GFC, or global financial crisis, or what many of us call the Great Recession, back in 2010. At that time, he worked in New York City with a fund that was acquiring all kinds of distressed assets. So he got exposure to lots of different kinds of ways to do real estate. Well, Christian Gore today is the founder of G1 Capital Partners, a firm that's been orchestrating transactions worth approximately $9.5 billion across the U.S. So he has an understanding of commercial real estate dynamics and what's going on today. And I'm really happy to say that one of the asset classes that he thinks has the most upside is residential, which most of us here listening to The Real Well Show are invested in as well, including single-family rentals and bringing on new supply, which is so desperately needed. That's why we've been very involved in Build to Rent at Real Wealth. If you'd like to buy a brand new property that is built to be a rental, you can find out more at realwealthshow.com. Just join, and when you're there, you can talk to an investment counselor who can point you in the right direction. And the nice thing about working with builders is that they have the ability to pay points to buy down your interest rate, and that really increases cash flow. That's what we've been really active at Real Wealth. Again, you can check that out at realwealthshow.com. In addition to that, it's so important to bring on new supply, which is why we are also doing that and right now focusing in Oregon, just kind of outside, not outside, but not too far from Bend, Oregon, in an area called Klamath Falls that really has a lot of potential. In fact, the city called us, my partner Fred, because they are in need of new housing. So we've got a really cool project in Klamath Falls where we actually have an option on the land. We don't even have to buy the land at this time or develop it. It's already developed. These are finished lots that we have an option on. So we can build model homes on that land, sell those homes, and we don't even have to close on the land until the buyer closes at closing time. So we've really reduced the risk on that. If you want to find out more about that project, just go to growdevelopments.com. Unfortunately, only accredited investors can participate in that. There is a 12.5% preferred return, and you can check that out at growdevelopments.com. This is our 14th project with Fred. They have all been successful, from 8% returns all the way up to 25% returns in the past. Of course, the past is no guarantee of the future, but there have been no losses with Fred. So that's a good news, only making money. Okay, so let's move on to today's guest, Christian Gore. Welcome to The Real Well Show.
No, thank you for having me, Kathy.
So let's talk a little bit about your background and what you do in real estate.
You know, I originally started out working for a large firm in New York. Was fortunate enough to do a significant amount of transactions. We did about $5 billion in transactions across all product types across the country. And this was, you know, really right after the GFC. So as you can imagine, there was a lot of interesting things going on at that time, and a lot of unwinding of a lot of loans. So I kind of dipped my feet in, into that space and in that world for about 4 years, and then ended up kind of bouncing around to different buy side shops. Ended up moving back to Texas and working for some folks here locally. And in 2018, I decided to spin off and founded G1 Capital Partners that we run and operate today.
All right. So you got your start right after the GFC, the global financial crisis, also known as the mortgage meltdown. A lot of people don't realize it took down a lot of world economies and other economies with it. So you mentioned that your firm was, or you were involved in a lot of transactions. What do you mean by that? Is it like buy-sell side, or were you buying and holding, renovating? What were you guys doing?
Sure. We were doing both. We were selling quite a bit, doing a lot of loan workouts, and then we also had a large fund that we were buying a lot of opportunities in. And the GFC was a interestingly enough, kind of resonates to what's been going on the last couple of years. But anything from look, there was multifamily is a pretty strong product. So there wasn't a lot of that going on at that time. And how, that's obviously changed the last 5 years or so. So we bought and sold a lot of retail, sold a lot of office, bought the multifamily that we could. And same thing with industrial as well. So really was working on, everything under the sun at that point. Today, I will say what we're focused on internally is we obviously invest in multifamily, or we just kind of bucket it as residential as a whole. We do industrial, and then one of our most active buckets today is what we call special situations. And so that can be, anything from, let's say, a loan sale, for example, buying loans off banks right now, to hospitality deal, for example, where we're buying a large distressed hospitality or hotel, a full service hotel here in Dallas that we know well. So it's really kind of seller, story driven or event driven, kind of in that bucket. And that's really where we're spending quite a bit of time.
So when you're that diversified, how do you build your team to be able to handle all these different kinds of assets?
Sure. That's a great question. I would say we are lean. Our executive team is a total of five folks. Most of us sit in Dallas, and we have our research team out in California. That being said, we're thankful to be able to partner with a lot of third party management firms. So, effectively the boots on the ground at the assets. So we third party manage all of our all products, all assets in all markets. folks like Cushman & Wakefield and so on and so forth, we ultimately leverage their personnel and their expertise, and ultimately look at it as kind of we focus on what we do best, which is sourcing opportunities and raising equity for them, and we kind of let the property management teams on site do what they do best, which is manage assets and work through the day-to-day stuff more so than kind of what we do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we know that commercial real estate has been hit pretty hard. A lot of the loans are coming due and have adjusted. What kind of opportunity do you see coming up this year as a result of that?
Sure. Yeah. So that's a great question. It's what I think everyone's trying to kind of figure out and understand in our space. I think there's obviously a lot of there's a large loan maturity wall that's coming due. Really started, I guess, fall of last year. The bulk of it is coming up probably Q3, Q4 of 2024. So it will be kind of interesting to see how that plays out. Since we are product agnostic, where we focus our time is in each product is a little bit different. So office is its own kind of animal that needs to get figured out. We don't spend a lot of time in the office world or arena today. Multifamily is still, albeit there's some concerns there. It's still one of the, if not the strongest product type, that groups focus on and, has gotten significantly competitive over the last few years, with syndicators and so on and so forth. So, I think one big key differentiator, between really all the product types is the residential product is we look at it as a necessity, right? It's a shelter, food, water, shelter, that kind of thing, that really kind of separates, hospitality, office, even industrial, to some point. It's folks have to have a roof over their head. And I think that's unique. And so I don't expect there to be, in the multifamily world, as many issues, I guess, or workouts than some other product types, for example. So,
maybe just the people who got on those on the bridge debt and didn't anticipate rates going up so rapidly or so high.
Absolutely, there's a lot of that going on right now for sure. Trying to figure out what plan B or C or D is, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Private equity. That's where private equity can come in and sort of help the project and then, I guess, take priority over the former equity. All right. So are you licensed by the SEC? Are you a broker-dealer?
We have a broker-dealer arm. Yeah. So we actually operate two verticals. We have our principal investment arm, which is where the partners at D1 Capital all ultimately invest alongside on a deal by deal basis. And then on the other side of the house, or the other arm that we operate, is an advisory arm, for the most part, we're raising funds on behalf of clients. To the same time, we're product agnostic, but on the advisory side, we're really kind of focused on, sponsors who will ultimately be deploying those funds, and then really strategies. It's very strategy driven and very difficult time to raise capital right now. But we do have a couple of assignments in that side of the house that are pretty interesting and get us up every morning and excited to talk to equity partners.
Yeah. So how are you? I agree. I've heard that from a lot of people that it's been harder to raise capital. So how are you doing it? How are you finding money for these projects?
Sure. It's tough. A lot of things don't make sense right now. One of the main, as you can imagine, interest rates and really driven by where debt is pricing today makes things pretty tough. I will say construction has slowed down significantly. The last development deal we did was in multifamily. That was summer of 22. And since then we've pretty much been pencils down. That being said, we have call 30 minutes ago, we just jumped off. We are starting to look at development again. I will say in that, especially in the multifamily world, we have a very heavy focus on affordable. And it's a very kind of specific strategy for various different metros that have seen income skyrocket. And ultimately price out your call it blue collar worker so we focus on projects where we can create affordability for those folks, and we really think it's fundamentally a very big space that needs to be addressed, and we're working as hard as we can to do that, but they're a little bit more complicated than a standard multifamily transaction.
Well, close to impossible, honestly, right? So why are you looking at new construction again? And how are you able to even consider affordable housing with today's rates and high prices, land prices, everything? Or are you finding distressed land or distressed builds?
No. We're not seeing, interestingly enough, we're not seeing too much distress on the developer side. Don't think we'll see that. We'll see. Time will tell, I guess. But I would say, yeah, we're doing what I would call public-private partnerships with local municipalities, and by working with those folks, we're able to abate property taxes, which can obviously benefit the yields or returns of the project, and in return, what we're doing is creating that affordable housing. So we'll take half of a property. Let's say multifamily. So average size is called 300 units. We take about 150 units in any given project or asset, and ultimately, rent cap them or rent control, similar to kind of what California has in place at a more state level. But we're doing it from a private ownership kind of level, and that's how we're creating that affordability. So that Austin would be a great example. We think there's a significant need there. Same thing with Dallas, which is obviously where we're based. you know, the teachers, the firefighters, the really the pillars of the community are the folks that are having a tough time affording rent and or even living close to where they work. And so we're trying to solve for that gap effectively.
Yeah, Dallas is a great example. And since you're from there, let's talk about it. A lot of new supply is coming on in multifamily, but it's mostly Class A expensive. Do sure. you think that that will trickle down with so much competition that the, you know, that we'll see enough competition that rents would come down?
Sure. Yeah. I think Dallas, it's interesting. Dallas, you know, I would say maybe the last 5 years, it's the number one market of new supply and multifamily. Same thing in industrial. You know, pretty much all product types, it's got some of the heaviest supply. Fortunately, there's been a significant amount of net migration, so it's kind of I don't want to say even that out to some degree, but yes, we are seeing rents come down in Dallas. We're seeing rents come down in Austin significantly. I think there's definitely probably a little bit more room for rents to go down, but at the same time, what we're kind of walking into now is that new supply has really been cut off for, I guess, almost 2 years at this point, and so there's going to be a point where the delivery pipeline delivers, which, you know, over the next, call it 12 months. That'll get absorbed. You know, there's free rent coming into play again. So, you know, same concept as, you know, rent decreases. And so I think there'll be a, you know, a window, maybe 20 or 2 years where that takes place. And then, but ultimately then the supply drops off since there hasn't been any new shovels in the ground. And so we're expecting, you know, rents to continue to go up from that point, call it sometime in 25. And that being said, I think that's probably when the point most people will pick up the pencil and start developing again. And we'll see where rates are at, you know, 12 or 18 months from now. I'm not willing to make any bets on that.
But if you were a betting man, it's probably going to be lower.
Yes.
Yeah, probably. But we shall
see. Post-election.
Yeah. Well, post-election, but also the Fed came out, you know, they've been clear about that there will be rate cuts, probably not till the end of this year and definitely some next year. So that will be good for commercial real estate and for bringing on new supply. What now, you also said that you were now looking into single family as part of your fund. Why, where and why?
Yeah. The product is called Build to Rent. So effectively it's, you know, master plan communities, 50 to 150 homes, typically in secondary markets, where we're same concept where we're trying to provide affordable housing. So think of kind of low basis, you know, single family homes ultimately. And, we do believe that, there's kind of a renter life cycle phase. And so, depending on the market and so on and so forth, there's at some point, and we kind of break this out in some strategies, but at some point in a renter's life cycle, ultimately they'd like to get out of an apartment building for various reasons, kids, dogs, you know, growth of a family, you name it, looking for more space. And ultimately, you know, housing hasn't really gone down or became affordable by any means. And so we're trying to fill that gap on the build to rent side and providing that product to renters and obviously to investors to invest alongside. So a little bit different model than for us, at least, than multifamily, where we usually focus on your, you know, the Dallas, the Austin, the bigger markets. With these products, we're really, you know, really looking into, like I said, kind of secondary markets where they're smaller, you know, smaller populations, but high growth. So think of like Alabama's, Arkansas's, Carolinas, you know, that kind of, those kind of states, if that makes sense.
Exactly where we focus at Real Wealth. Yeah. And there's you know, some of these markets just didn't get the attention. They didn't get the massive builds of multifamily and or single family. And there's just a desperate need because migration patterns have been going to the Southeast for a while, but some of those markets have been overlooked by builders. So that makes sense. Now, when you say with these build to rent, is it all under one management, or are there individual investors in there where you'd sell those off one at a time?
Sure. So we're not in that space. We were net sellers about 2 years ago, significantly. And I will say we haven't been as active as we'd like for kind of obvious reasons. But yeah, looking forward, we're very much so in buy mode or build mode if we can make it work. So kind of with that, yeah, I would say we're trying to buy up as much as we possibly can, specific to that product. We think there that has a lot of legs, and really like the basis and, you know, the demographics behind it and the lack of supply. Ultimately, I think there's a massive need, for single family homes, ultimately, albeit on the renting side. So I think, Kathy, to your question, we, from a property management standpoint, yeah, we leverage one property management company. I guess technically two. It's a little bit tougher in some of these smaller markets to kind of have boots on the ground. And so we really focus on, you know, whoever the ultimately kind of has the best team on site and wherever that may be. If that makes sense, does that answer?
Yeah. I mean, it's these build to rent communities, in my opinion, work best when there's one management in place and it's treated like a horizontal apartment, basically, versus exactly. I've seen some people do these build to rents with hundreds of single family rentals and then sell them off onesie twosie to investors. And now you've got hundreds of investors competing against each other for rents and potentially for selling those properties. So it makes me nervous. That's just my warning to people. Find out, like, is it under one management or do you have 100 different investors with different property managers competing? It's a recipe for disaster, in my opinion.
Oh, so, I'd agree.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Christian. Well, any last thoughts for our audience on what we can look forward to in 2024? And then it sounds like survive till 2025, you know?
And survive till 25, and in the meantime, if you can get things to work or pencil, I would say start buying.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. You're in acquisition mode because you don't see this problem disappearing anytime soon of demand and lack of supply.
I do not know. Or if you can get it to work numbers wise, then I would say go ahead and take that risk now and. Five or 10 years or whatever your hold period is, I think you'll be on the right side.
Yeah, amazing. And this lack of supply, you believe, is mainly in residential, not so much in, say, storage or industrial or retail or office?
Good question. We don't spend a lot of time in self-storage, and that's probably shame on me. I think that is a great space. So I think supply, obviously, in the multifamily world is a larger, there's a larger pipeline, ultimately, than, for example, build to rent or, and retail's a little bit different animal. We are looking at retail, but more so from a covered land play, you know, very well located, type product. Don't think there's much, depends on the market. Once again, I don't want to kind of come over blanket statement. But don't think retail has an issue with oversupply. It depends on if you're, you know, talking about triple net product or shopping centers or, you know, big box retailers, malls, for example. That's a whole kind of different subset. But we're starting to see malls get chopped up. And, you know, for example, we're looking at one in Austin where we're building multi, or we'll be building multi on that site. So look, there's plenty of real estate out there. There's a lot of opportunities. I think it's just, you know, finding the right deal with the right people running it or building it or managing it. And I think, you know, you'll be in a good spot. It's just putting all the right pieces together ultimately.
Awesome. All right. Well, again, thank you for joining me here on The Real Wealth Show and sharing what you're up to.
Awesome. Thanks, Kathy.
And thank you for joining me here on The Real Wealth Show. As I said, you can go to realwealthshow.com to find out how you can buy a brand new rental property. I personally think it's a great way to go. Insurance is so much less, and oftentimes taxes are too. And of course, repairs are much lower as well. And you can get the interest rate buy down. So it all works out to get a nice, new, shiny property that cash flows, and we love that. And if you want to find out about our syndication, investing in building new homes where so much of the risk has been eliminated because we don't have to develop those lots, they're already finished. We just get to build the homes. We don't have to pay for the land and until there's a buyer in place. Again, you could go to growdevelopments.com. I'm Kathy Fetke. Thanks for joining me here on The Real Wealth Show.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to realwealthshow.com.